Fourth chapter of Ephesians, where the brother was just at in the 17th verse, says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Certainly good to be with you this afternoon here at the North Georgia Fellowship meeting. Certainly good to get to come and be back with you good people here in this meeting and here at Union Church. Last time I was here with you good folks, it was about 80 degrees outside and grass was growing, and it was hot weather. And today I left home and it was about 50, and I get to North Georgia and it's 30 degrees outside, and it was quite a shock when I stepped out. I appreciate the invitation, appreciate getting to come one more time. I have been, I guess you could say, on vacation mode for the past couple of months. We finished up with another wonderful year of getting to go to meetings across the deep south, and I was in some places that I longed to get back to again. And if I'm at the North Georgia Fellowship meeting, that means it's the end of January of another year has started, and all those holidays are behind us, and I praise the Lord to get to be with you, okay? This afternoon, for what few moments I stand before you, and I'll try to be mindful of the time. I was debating on just when to come and how to work all this out. I couldn't be here tomorrow, and I was studying on just how to come and what to do. And my little boy, it's five, he overheard me talking about it with his mother last night on just when I could try to come. And he was milling around there in the kitchen as we were talking about it, and he kind of walked by me with his cup going to get some water, and he was over there at the refrigerator getting him some water, and he looked over there at me. He said, "Dad, you going to preach somewhere?" I said, "Well, I thought about going to church, little buddy." He said, "Well, then you're probably going to preach." I said, "Well, I don't know what the mind of the breath." "You going to preach. Just listen now." I said, "What is that, little buddy?" He said, "Well, when they call on you, just make sure you don't take too long." So, in the words of my five-year-old, I'll try to remember not to take too long. This afternoon I have a particular subject on mind, the Lord being in the matter, and I trust He is. It doesn't matter what your age is this afternoon. It doesn't matter how close you feel to Christ, how close you feel to your wife or husband. It doesn't matter how much money you have in your bank. It doesn't matter how bankrupt you may be. I've got a particular subject on mind that'll affect the smallest one here or the oldest one here. It's been affecting you all your life, and it will affect you until you draw your last and final breath. It gives you trouble on a daily, let me say, hourly basis. It's going to give you trouble while I stand here this afternoon. I'm fixing to tell you some things about yourself that you're not going to like. You're going to despise it. You're not going to like me on account of it. I'll say with old man Piles in Texas, if you hate me, but you go away from here loving your Savior, I will have counted it a great joy to have been with you. I've got a particular thought that's been bothering me now for quite some time, and I trust that these things be of the Lord and I can bring them from His Word. I'll use the good English of the 1611 King James translation of the Bible this afternoon. We won't get into Hebrew. We won't get into Greek. We'll just use English words. But there's a particular thing that's within, sealed up inside of your head, that has been bothering you ever since conception. It's been bothering you a long time. Preacher, we know sin's after us. Sure it is. The thought I have on mine is not so much sin, but sin is obviously the root cause of it. I maintain before Adam eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the thought I have on my mind, I don't think it give Adam trouble. I don't think what I'm fixing to talk about give him trouble till after he had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the sixth chapter of Genesis is the first place that I find the Lord mentioning it. Sixth chapter of Genesis, he says here in the fifth verse, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Is it bothering you today? If you'll be real honest with yourself, it's bothering you. Oh, preacher, I've got it under control. If you have, you got it better. You're doing better than me in the Paul. Paul says over in, where is it? I probably marked it. 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians. Let's see, where is that? He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Paul says casting down imaginations. I find in another place, over in the 8th chapter of Genesis, and the 21st verse, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. This is after the ark rested, you remember? 40 days and 40 nights, and all flesh was wiped off the face of the earth, except for 8 living souls and all the creatures that God put on the ark. And I believe the ark saved exactly who it was supposed to save. That ark saved the people it was supposed to save. Are you with me? Now, maybe I'll not chase that rabbit, but it saved who it is supposed to save. And you understand this, that the water proceeded 15 cubits above the highest mountain on the earth. Okay? You understand that after that took place, the ark rested on Mount Ararat in the 17th day of the 9th month. Reckon why God's Bible told you that. I'll leave it for you to think about and study it out. I'll not preach that this afternoon. But it rested on the 17th day of the 9th month. 8th month. 9th month, I think. You go study it out. There's a reason why. I won't go there right now. And the Lord, this is when Noah has built an altar and sacrifices unto God. The Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I've done. Lord help. Brother Marty, we're in a mess. Here he says that his heart, his imagination of his heart is evil from where? From his youth. And 6, it tells me that his imagination is evil how? Continually. Let me tell you this today, my friends. I hope I never say this to Audrey and JT. If you said it to your children, maybe after I get through, maybe I'll convince you not to say it anymore. But I've been told. You've been told, probably. When you have a decision to make in life, follow your heart. You've been told that? I've been told that. You ever been told when you had a decision to make in life, well, just let your conscience guide you? You ever been told that? It won't work with this book. This book teaches me that our heart's evil continually, and this book teaches me that your conscience can be seared over with a hot iron. Unless I forget it. Time runs out on me, and I don't want to break Peanut's rule. I hope in a few moments to prove to you that that old evil imagination that you've got, it can convince you that you're doing wrong when you're doing right. And it can also convince you that you're doing right when you're doing wrong. Man, I hope this ain't too much for us this afternoon. Let me tell you this about that evil, depraved imagination that you've got. I'll promise you this afternoon. You stand in the same shape I stand in, the same shape that Jacob stood in, the same shape that the patriarchs of old stood in. You can always believe a lie that is negative before you'll believe the truth when it's a positive. You want me to say it again? You can always believe a lie when it's negative quicker than you can believe the truth when it's a positive. Amen. That's right. Somebody hands you some bad news, that is a lie. Ain't a bit of truth in it, but hand you bad news and you'll swallow it hook, line, and sinker. Somebody bring you some good news that is the truth, and what do you say? That can't be. Ain't no way it's possible. Are y'all with me? Y'all know what I'm talking about because y'all got the same problem I've got. Same problem the patriarchs had. Let's just go through a few of them real quick, and I'll not get them all this afternoon for time's sake. Jacob, y'all remember him, don't you? You remember the old patriarch. Oh, we love to preach about Jacob. They ain't an old Baptist preacher alive. I ain't ever loved to preach about Jacob. But old brother Jacob, y'all remember how it was that he had those sons? You remember how it was that he had a wife named Rachel? She couldn't have any children. Finally, the Lord opened up her womb, and she had Joseph. He loved Joseph above all those sons, didn't he? Give him a coat of many colors. Finally, Rachel had another son named Benjamin. She died in childbearing, bringing Benjamin into the world. Y'all remember all that, don't you? 37th chapter of Genesis, if you'll go read it, I'll not for time's sake. You'll find that Joseph is a young man. Joseph has a coat of many colors that his father made and gave to him. Joseph is as strong a type of the Lord Jesus Christ as any character I find anywhere in the Old Testament. I mean, there is absolutely endless types and shadows of Joseph picture in Christ Jesus. I'll not go through all that. That's a different sermon. A man can spend a week preaching on it. But let me do this for you. They wanted to kill him to start with and put him in a pit. One of the brethren talked him out of it. We'll set him. The Midianites come by, sold him into bondage. Down to Egypt he goes. They took his coat. Watch this now. They took his coat of many colors. They killed a kid, dipped it in kid's blood, and carried it to daddy Jacob and handed it to him. And watch what happened. Read it carefully. They didn't walk up and say, some wild beast has took your son and destroyed him. They didn't tell daddy a lie. They showed him false evidence appearing real. Are you hearing me? Look here, they showed him the coat of many colors dipped in kid's blood, showed it to him and said, is this thy son Joseph's coat? They asked him, they used to ask a question. He said, surely it is. Watch what the old man does. He says, some wild beast has surely shredded my son and he's dead. He's dead. Joseph is no more. Joseph was doing very well. He was down in Egypt, wasn't he? Everything his hand touched, the Lord blessed it. And I won't go through all of his life, but you remember how it was that Joseph ended up as ruler over all of Egypt, except he didn't have the throne. You remember how it was that after they got hungry, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine, they got hungry. Daddy sent those boys down to Egypt to get some corn. When they got down there, there's who? There's Joseph, ruler over all of Egypt. If you get any corn, you'll have to go see Joseph. You remember how it was that they didn't know who he was, but he knew them. You remember all that story, don't you? All right, let's go. Let's just skip. Hit that button. Fast forward button. Watch this. When they finally, you remember, he kept one of the brethren, said, bring Benjamin back and all this. Finally, when they bring Benjamin back, you remember all that, how that goes, a sermon after sermon there. They get Benjamin down there. Joseph reveals himself, makes himself known to him. Boy, right here is one. I got to get this one, Brother Nettles. You remember how it was that when they got there to the supper table, he had them placed in birth order? They said, how is it that they know what our age is? And you remember, watch this. Now, Joseph walks into the room. Watch what the Bible says. It says he cried with a loud voice and caused the Egyptians to leave the room that he might reveal himself to his brethren. I tell you today, my friends, I preached years ago when I was just a boy that the preacher's always late. Amen? That's right. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes with His voice and speaks to your dead soul and makes you alive in Christ, He'll do it in a private place all by Himself and He don't need Joe Nettles' help. Amen? That's right. Bless your heart, I tell you today, Joseph revealed Himself all by Himself in that room. And I tell you this, if you hadn't felt close to the Lord lately, maybe you got too much of Egypt in your life. Woo! Well, there's a whole nother sermon. Bless your heart. Get Egypt out. Get the world out. Read more in His Word. Talk to Him more in prayer. Sing more of the songs of Zion. Be at church more and love Him more and He'll love you. Now look, I know He already loves you, okay? But I'm talking about His fellowship in this time world, okay? If He loved you, He loved you before the foundation of the world and He'll see you in the end, okay? But I'm talking about right here, right now. You remember how it was? They got the corn down and they sent the wagons. Joseph sent the wagons down there to go get my daddy Jacob and bring him back. The boys got down there, run in the house, opened the door and said, Joseph, thy son is yet alive. Here's some good news. That's the truth. and he didn't believe it. That's right. Go read it carefully. I've done read it so many times, I know it backwards and forwards. Listen, I'm telling you, he didn't believe it. He said, can't be. Ain't no way. And I can see the old man now dragging. You remember he's a cripple, don't you? Cripple. He had an experience one night, didn't he? I can see the old man leaning on his staff as he drove that old cripple leg over to that window. The Bible says when he looked out the window and saw the wagons that Joseph sent, he said, it is enough. My son's alive. I'll go see him before I die. They took him a coat that had some blood on it, and he made up his own lie. Believed it, best I can tell, for 23 years. And when they come with the truth, they wouldn't believe it until he seen the wagons Joseph sent. You know anybody in that condition today? I do. I know lots of them. Some of them is as close to me as anybody on earth. Oh, Brother Marty Smith, I wouldn't have drove to North Georgia if I had the power this afternoon to show somebody the truth. If I could just get the wagons and take them down to Momo and Paw Cotton's house down there on Old Gallant Highway, and I could knock on the door and slap them right quick nettles where they could see the truth as it is in Christ Jesus and know it and believe it like I do, I wouldn't have come to North Georgia this afternoon. I'd be in Greasy Cove having a revival with my grandparents, who I know are the children of grace, but they've been told a lie, they believed a lie, and it'll take the great God of heaven to ever show them the truth. Say amen. That's right, I've tried, and bless your heart, we'll get in an argument quick, and they love me and I love them. But when I tell them that grace is free, they say, preacher, so you've got to do so-and-so. You've got to do so-and-so. Bless your heart, I tell you, Thanksgiving. Everybody's supposed to love Thanksgiving. I do love it. But there's about 2 minutes of that day that I don't like. When I have to stand in a circle with my family, Brother Ray Wagner, my family, my wife and children, my brothers and their families, my mom and daddy, my aunts and uncles, and my grandmom and granddaddy. And my grandmother ceases without fail what she will say something about how great the Lord's blessed her family. And she's right about that, y'all. How he's blessed her family. And we all stand in a circle on Thanksgiving Day and hold hands. And she'll start praising the Lord for a minute and telling about what great things that the Lord's done in her life and in her family's life. And Jill's will run up my back, Brother Marty. And then all of a sudden she'll just kill it. She'll kill the spirit in about 5 seconds when she says, I just hope all of y'all are right where the circle won't be unbroken in heaven. Brother Joe is my grandmother and I love her. These boys love Daddy, and they give Daddy some false evidence that appeared real, and he believed a lie. But when they told him the truth, he said, no way possible. Are y'all with me now? All right, boys, let's go a little further. I don't know. Peanut might get done be bad at me. Look, let's go over here and get somewhere else. I don't know where to go. There's so many of them. We could talk about Brother Peter for just a minute, couldn't we? You remember how it was in Acts, and Peter was in jail? Do you remember what the Lord said to Peter when the Lord was still on earth? He looked at Peter one time and he says, when thou art old. Did you catch it? When thou art old. That means you can't die young. Y'all with me? When thou art old. Well, Peter had that word. Remember how it was? This is in the 12th chapter of Acts. Remember how it was that they just beheaded James? And how it was that Herod said, well, after this holiday, you remember what holiday it was, don't you? You remember who's keeping Easter, don't you? It ain't the church and the disciples. It's Herod. I'm sorry, brethren, but that's a pagan holiday. We ought to let it alone. Tell me something, folks. You folks that love your Easter Sunday so good. What does Easter bunnies and chickens have to do with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Absolutely nothing. But they've got everything in the world to do with the worship of the Son and human reproduction. All worship outside of the true worship of the Lord Jesus Christ revolves around two things. The worship of the natural son and human reproduction. Y'all won't like that, but say amen. Amen. That's right. We need to leave that stuff alone, folks. We got folks that's messing with things they don't know what they're fooling with. Whoo, that causes that verse to come, Brother Brother Clayton, over in Ezekiel. If I got Ezekiel marked, I know it's in my book. There's Ezekiel. Let me give you this. Hey, you young folks, y'all ain't going to like me today. That's all right. I didn't like the preacher much either. Let me do this, 8th chapter of Ezekiel. Oh, you young, old folks, y'all ain't going to like me either when I read this. 8th chapter of Ezekiel. Y'all read it lately? 12th verse. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers, plural, chambers of his imagery, imaginary. You got one, I got one, got more than one. That imagination, you've got little things locked up there in that mind that you ain't told mama. You ain't told daddy, you ain't told your husband, you ain't told your wife. You ain't told the preacher, and I don't want you to tell me. Because I'm going to tell you, if you knew the little chambers of my imaginary, if you knew what was locked up there, you wouldn't let me stand here. And if I knew what was up there on you, I wouldn't stand here. Amen? That's right. Because, see, you've got little dark things up there in that dark closet of that depraved imagination that is evil continually, and you go there when you're by yourself. And you play there in that imagination of that human mind that is depraved. You know why it's depraved? Because it's evil continually. That's right. You play there and you feel good about it till the Lord comes and condemns you in your heart. Are you with me now? All right, just hold on. Let's get back to Peter. Boy, I was going to forget Peter. Peter's over yonder. He's going to be beheaded. James done been beheaded. Well, Herod's going to put him to death. But here's the thing. Watch this. They've got him shackled up, bound and in prison, and watch this. He lays down and goes to sleep between two soldiers. I tell you what, folks, you're going to have a whole lot of something. A whole lot of peace or comfort, or maybe you remember his word. He remembered the words of the Lord. When thou art old. Peter just went right off to sleep, didn't he? Laying right between two soldiers, shackled up. The angel of the Lord come, didn't he? All right, well, stop, Joe. Watch this. There was a church. They had prayer meeting. Woo, you old Baptists won't like that, none. I don't believe in just fundamental, just do it because you got to do it and go pray for the dog catcher. But let me tell you this, at Union Church or any other church as far as that goes, if your pastor's in jail down yonder for preaching the truth, it'll be all right if the church gets together and prays for him. Amen. That's what they done here. Peter's in jail and the church got together and prayed for him. They're down there praying that for his release. The angel come, got Peter, got his shackles off, got him up, and carried him out of the jail. Peter got down there and knocked on the door. Sister Rhoda goes to the door and sees it's him and slams the door in his face. He keeps knocking on the door, and finally she comes to the people, the church, and says, Peter's at the door. They said, no, he ain't. You're mad. And that don't mean angry. That means you're crazy. She kept persisting. Peter's at the door. They said, no, must be his angel. Finally, Peter come walking in. They couldn't believe that their prayer had been answered. Are you with me? Because their depraved imagination says, this can't be. It's too good. What'd the Lord say? He says, when you pray, do what? Have faith, doubt not, pray, believe, and whatever you ask, ask how? In my name. Boy, I wished I could do that. Don't you, Brother Bill? I wished I could have faith, doubt, not pray, believe it, so that whatever I ask be it. Now listen, I don't think he's talking about me praying for $1 million. That ain't, Look here, he's going to see to it that we have room and shelter, right? The Lord's our God. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills and all the gold of Ophir. Amen? What God do y'all serve up here in Georgia? Bless your heart, I serve a God that can take a widow woman who has got nothing and scraping the bottom of the barrel, and the preacher gets down there and says, bake me a cake first. Right? And she does. By faith, she does. And guess what? Every time she went to the meal bar, Brother Joe, there's still meal there, wasn't it? Ain't that right? This is the God of Israel. He changeth not. But your depraved imagination in the year 2013 says he has changed. He don't work like he used to work. He can't do what he used to do. Well, look around at all the evil. Ain't that what your depraved imagination says? Mine does. But when I read his word, it reminds me that he changeth not. And he's still the King of kings and Lord of lords. And we've got the victory. But boy, my depraved imagination don't believe that all the time. Does yours? You young people, bless your heart, you're going to hear a lot in this world. This world's out to get you. It's out to get me. The Satan is roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Let's move along. Let's get some more. Let's get Paul. John Tyler would say, Dad, you got 3 minutes. Let's get Paul. Paul over, is it the 27th, 28th chapter of Acts, where Paul is shipwrecked. Y'all remember it? And after his shipwreck, he comes ashore, and there's those barbarians. Y'all remember it? Now listen, it says they were very good to him, if you read that correctly. But you remember what it says? It was a cold rain. They built a fire. He gathered a bundle of sticks to put on the fire. The snake jumped out of the fire, latched it to Paul's hand. Y'all remember it? Watch this carefully. Do you remember what those boys said when they saw that snake on his hand? They said he must be a murderer. Look, he escaped the storm at sea, but vengeance is going to have him. Look what's happened. And then old Paul does what? He shakes the snake off. He doesn't fall dead. His hand don't even swell. And their whole mind frame changed, didn't it? He went from being a murderer to a god. They said, surely he must be a god. They was wrong on both accounts. He wasn't a murderer and he wasn't a god. You see how that depraved imagination worked? Bless your heart, I tell you what, you got a problem with it and I have too. That depraved imagination can always, always believe the worst about anything quicker than it can believe the betterment. You can't hardly do it. Let me give you just some practical. You folks that's raised children, maybe they're already gone. Sister Hoskins is back here. She's got teenagers in her house. I don't yet, praise the Lord. But I'm longing for that day. But let me say this. When you folks that have children, have had children, when they was out on Friday or Saturday night and they was told to be at home at what, 10 o'clock or 11, whatever you set. Okay, watch this carefully now. They didn't make it at 10:58. They didn't make it at 11:01. I got a question for you. Was you sitting in the recliner reading the Bible? Going, oh, everything's fine? No, when they wasn't home at 11:15, you was pacing the floor. Now, I'm going back before cell phone days, okay? I'm going back to my day. No cell phone. You can't just pick it up and call me. You can't track me down no matter where I go. I wonder. Now, listen, I don't think I was late many times, Brother Blair. You understand? Because that old colonel wouldn't let me go many more times if I'd been late much. But if I ever was, I'm quite sure you'd have paced the floor. Mama would have or something, I guess. I don't think I made them pace the floor many times because I knew better. But if I'd have had car trouble, or if I just got caught up in traffic, their depraved mind would have said something's happened. Are you with me? All right, watch this. I'm going to leave here in a little while and go back to Alabama, and y'all won't have to be worried with me for a while. Let's say I don't have a cell phone, okay, just so this will work. Let's don't have a cell phone for a minute. And I told my wife I was going to be up here this afternoon. I'll be back home tonight. It'll probably be 7, 8 o'clock. I don't get home by 8 o'clock, Brother Clayton. Do you think my wife is going to automatically go, you know, Jonathan must have preached good this afternoon. They wanted him to stay and preach again tonight. And he couldn't stand it. He just had to do it. Do you think that's the way she'd think? Do you think she would think, well, there must have been 3 or 4 joining. They wanted Jonathan to baptize one or two of them. You think that ain't the way she'd think, Joe. You know what she'd think if I wasn't home by 8 o'clock? Jonathan must be in the ditch in a car wreck. He's done got sick. They've carried him to a hospital. It wouldn't be a good thought, Brother Winfrey. It'd be a bad thought. Right? Do you see how depraved that evil imagination you've got is? It's always on a downhill slope. It always thinks down. Let me show you this real quick. My wife has 2 grandmothers still living. One is the most negative human that has ever walked on God's earth. One is the most positive human that I've ever been around. Thank God my wife got some of that. Okay? I had them both at the house 2 weeks ago. I had the negative one Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. I had the positive Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. They're just down visiting. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Being around the negative one would make me negative. Are you with me? I mean, everything's wrong, and Buddy, she'll tell you about it. I mean, I'm telling you, folks. Listen, I was about as low on Wednesday morning going to work. I couldn't have sold something if you'd come begging me for it. But after Miss Reby got there on Wednesday, and she smiles and loves you, oh, preacher, you preach so good on Sunday. We enjoyed it. We're so thankful you with us. We're so thankful for what the Lord's done. We're so thankful that the Lord give you a mind to preach His gospel. By about Thursday or Friday, Brother David Coffin, I thought I could have took wings and flown. Now listen, even that positive one's got a depraved imagination, okay? But let me tell you what the difference is. The negative grandmother, she never does cast it down at all. The positive one, she's doing a pretty good job at 77 of casting off that depraved imagination. I trust one day I can get like her, where I do a pretty good job of casting it off. Let me tell you this, I had a lot of scriptures I could have went to, but because Peanut said not to preach too long, I'll try not to. Let me go over here to Ephesians real quick. Let me tell you something that you won't ever have much trouble with real quick. Ephesians, and I know it's here, in the third chapter, in the 20th verse. It says, "Now unto him that is able to do what? Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." All that we ask or think. I got to get that other. I got to prove that to you in a minute, and I'll try to in just a moment. Don't let me forget it. Let me do this real quick. If you go to bed tonight thinking about the negative, start thinking about your family. You got problems in your family? I got them in mine. We all do, don't we? You start thinking about the problems in your family. Start thinking about the problems in the church. You got any? Yeah, say amen. Yeah. Listen, you know why? It's made up of sinners. That's right. You get that on your mind tonight about 9 o'clock or 10, whenever it is you lay down and go to bed. And you'll lay there and toss and turn for 2 hours worrying over it. Are you with me? I'm just being honest. If when you go to bed tonight, you start trying to think about the great white throne. You start trying to think about how good church service was, how beautiful the singing was, how good the preaching was, how sweet the fellowship was. You start trying to think about the things of the Lord, and it won't be long till you'll be sound asleep. Let me tell you this today, my friends. I've got a dear old dad who's a colonel. And listen, I know everybody in this house thinks their dad's the greatest. Everybody has to think that, I guess, but I've got the greatest, okay? There's no doubt in my mind. As far as I'm concerned, he's never sinned. As far as I'm concerned, he's great. But you know what? I'm seeing some gray hairs come in his hair. I'm seeing some wrinkles. I'm hearing him talk about his joints are aching. You know what these are evidences of? He's getting old and sin. One day, if time tarries and nature works its way, I'll have to probably try to stand over the casket of my departed father. And when I do, I will know that sin is finished and it bringeth forth death. I can't believe standing here with you right now that my dear old dad has got a depraved imagination or even has chambers of the imaginary worked up there that is evil in his mind. I just cannot conceive that. But you know what? I know he does. You know why I know that? Because I do. You know where I got it? I got it from him. JT's only 5, but he's got them. You know where he got them? He got them from me. Now let me give you this real quick. If you've ever seen the Lord's church in all her beauty, if you've ever seen, as Queen Sheba said over there when she come to Solomon, she said the half hadn't been told. If you've ever heard the old songs of Zion that had a certain ring to it and caused chills to run up and down your back, If you've ever heard the gospel message that told you you was a condemned, ruined sinner, but saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and if He ever loved you, He'll love you in the end. If you've ever heard that or seen that or felt that, I'll promise you, you didn't get that from your natural father. You got that from your heavenly Father. If you've ever had the ability to just imagine for a moment the glorious things of heaven. Are you with me? The great white throne and all the family of God without the loss of one. And we all cast our crowns at His feet and sing the song of the Lamb, for worthy art thou that was slain. If you've ever had that in your mind or in your imaginary mind at all, if you've ever done that, you didn't get that from this daddy. You got that from the Heavenly Father. Amen? Amen. That's right. So I tell you today, I'll promise you this. The book says in another place in Corinthians, I believe it is, it says it this way, that it is written, what? That the eye hath not seen, nor the ear heard, nor entered in where the heart of man, what the Father hath in store for His children. Are you with me? I tell you what you'll never be able to imagine too much of, is how much the Lord's already done for you, and how much more He can do for you.
Amen?
Amen? Okay, I told you before, and I'm going to close with this. That's a good place to stop, but I don't want to leave this dangling. That depraved imagination can cause you to think you're doing good when you're doing evil. Well, let me give you one. Where's that book at? It's in John. John in my book. John chapter 3, I believe. Or maybe it's 16. Yeah, I need 16. It's in this book somewhere. John 16. Listen to the words of the Lord now. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service." I'm probably finding two or three more scriptures to prove what I'm trying to say. That will do the trick, won't it? Listen, I'm telling you, folks. Some of us have the idea that just because you can grunt twice on Sunday morning or sing one verse of Amazing Grace, it makes you a child of the King. I've been around too long. I've been around too long, folks. Listen, folks, I'm telling you this. Your depraved imagination can have you walking down a road that is so wrong that it ain't funny. But the whole time your mind tricking you that this is right. Right? At the same time, you can be doing, Brother David, you can be doing what's right. And that mind trick you, man, you're wrong. Look, there ain't nobody with you. Y'all remember Elijah? After the day of Baal? What did he tell the Lord? He says, "They have slain thy prophets." He is right. "They've digged down thine altars." He is right. "They seek my life." He was right. But watch number 4. "And I'm left alone." You're wrong. That one thing he was wrong about, and it had his mind all warped. What did the Lord tell him? "I've reserved 7,000 that ain't bowed down to Baal." Just because I've got a nose problem, I know that somebody this morning, I think it's Brother Joe Nettles, preached from 1 John chapter 3, 22. I want you to notice verse 20. Let me do this for you. I done told you don't believe your heart and don't believe your conscience. So what are we to have any confidence in? Ha ha. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." God is greater. So here's my advice to you if you're 70, 50, 18. Doesn't matter. Your heart will lie to you. Your conscience will steer you wrong. There's only a couple of things that I know won't. One is the Word of God and His directing hand. And I'm going to tell you, listen, y'all, I long so many times, have so many things going on in my world. I'm talking to you personally now. Have so many things going on in my world. Can I make it over there? Is this the right way? Lord, show me. I beg Him every day, Lord, show me the way. I know my way is not good. Show me the way, Lord. And I tell you, sometimes I think I'm going the way that the Lord would have me go. I think that in my mind. And it all falls apart. And I look back and I see that it wasn't His way, it was my way. Every once in a while I get going down the way and I find out that the Lord was truly in it and I rejoice evermore. But let me tell you this today, my friends, even when I'm going down my way and the Lord hadn't led me that way, but I think He has. You remember that depraved imagination? I struggle with it too. I head down that way and I think the Lord's with me. I know He is. This is good. And I get down there and I look back and I go, no, He wasn't. He wasn't guiding me this way, Brother Nettles. But you know the best part of all of it? I look back and I go, even on my way, He was still taking care of me. Ain't He sweet to us? Ain't He merciful to us? Bless your heart, I tell you. You know the old saying, we got to walk by faith. Bless your heart, that ain't always easy to do, is it? That ain't always easy to do. But I tell you, we need to not walk after the flesh and the lust thereof. But we need to keep our head in His book. Keep our head bowed down, trusting and asking Him. For what does the wise man say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And in all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy paths. Lord bless you.